B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Black and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I have a problem with this song, by the way.
I love it.
What's that now?
Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation with a black-haired flamenco dancer, as opposed to all the blonde flamenco dancers. That's number one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, she dances while his father plays. Is he talking to her while she's dancing? Because that's rude. It's like Mr. Jones striking up a conversation with a black-haired flamenco dancer. She dances while his father plays. What? Are they talking or is she dancing? Are they doing both at the same time? The narrative is off.
Man, you're doing deep dive in the lyrics right now.
What's the song about?
Too early for that.
What's that song about?
That song we're listening to right now?
Yeah.
It's about...
Isn't it about a guy and his...
No.
His...
No, it's Adam Duritz literally wrote it about his friend, this guy named, I think is Hayward Jones or something like that, and they went out to a bar called the New Amsterdam.
Thought it's about a guy
and they were sitting there drinking. It's not...
His man.
That would be Mr. Johnson. No offense.
Right here, sitting right here.
Mr. Wang. As long as it's Mr. Wang, Mr. Jones.
We got to get to the bottom of that. I'd like to know what that song
is. It's not a metaphor for his genitalia, no.
I'm going to have to look. Yeah. I think I read that on GeoCities one time back in the day.
Stop reading that smut.
Deep browsing the internet. It's hour number two. Zoe and Beetle taking you up until 2 o'clock. It is Hardy, Ted Johnson, and Adam Jones here taking your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Look, last night, the game stunk. It wasn't a good game. It's a great result. It's a sixth Super Bowl. We talked about how great it is to bookend the dynasty if it is even over. It may not be over. How great it is and how fitting it is that it's back effectively where it began. Run first team, winning on defense, maybe not the most talented of the run against the Rams, for God's sakes. So all of that is great. But I think we can all admit, deep down, not the greatest game last night. At least that's how I feel about it. And I juxtapose it, and I know, Hardy, you feel the same way. Remember everybody bitching and moaning and complaining about, 54-51, Rams and Chiefs. What is it, arena ball? This isn't even football. What sport are they playing? They're killing the game, blah, 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 right? Isn't last night the alternative? And last night kind of stunk. If you're a neutral fan, if you're not a Patriots fan, the whole rest of the country is watching that going, what is this? When's the action? When does the game start?
So this reminds me of when the Australian sports writer, maybe from New Zealand, got sent to cover an NFL game and had never seen one, like hadn't watched it, and his blog...
Know what a forward pass was?
...is hysterical, right? It's all like, okay, everyone's real excited, here we go. The game is starting. 5 minutes later, actually, it hasn't started. 7 minutes later, apparently it did start. I thought they were still warming up. Number three, a lot of downtime. You know, and just like thing after that. And that's what that game was like. If you were introducing someone to American football last night and you said, this is what people spend their entire Sundays watching? This? This is the game. This has become the new national pastime.
The beautiful game.
Right. No, I... Look, there's certainly issues with the way they're officiating right now. And for, Ted, it must blow your mind watching what players are not allowed to do anymore. The personal foul that got called early on in the game last night, I'm like, that looks like a football play to me, man. Defenseless receiver?
I was in shock.
What are you talking about? Burkhead, right?
Yeah.
Burkhead drew that penalty. I'm like...
Robbie Coleman, of all people, yeah.
Coleman, and I'm like, I don't know.
I thought
what
that was a great play by the kid.
What was Coleman supposed to do in that regard? So that must drive you nuts. But given the alternative between the two, if those are the two choices, 54-53 or 13-3, I'll go with the former.
Yeah.
I will watch a little more in terms of plays being made. And I'm not saying the officiating has anything to do with it. It's just the way the game played out last night. Two defenses playing above their heads, but also, someone convinced me otherwise, offense is not executing. Offense is not having very good game plans. Are you trying to tell me that Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels could not solve the riddle of that Wade Phillips defense last night for virtually the entirety of the game until they went man at the end and they were gassed. They just couldn't figure it out. Or maybe, is it possible that Tom Brady didn't play very well and Josh McDaniels didn't have a very good offensive game plan? I think it's the latter.
I think that's fair. Look, Tom is do I got to qualify every criticism with
No. He's the greatest to ever play the game, the greatest football team, the greatest dynasty.
I mean,
let's just say
people are going to want you to, just FYI, but no, you shouldn't have to.
I'm the former player, the former teammate of Tom's. I feel like of anybody in this room, I have to qualify with. He's the greatest I've ever seen.
You didn't say that before the duck boat story. I meant to criticize you for that.
That's a true point. That's a fair point. He was off. He was off. I mean, he could complete a screen pass early in the game. I was like, wait, what? You're just throwing it into the ground. I mean, there were plays where that interception he threw to Chris Hogan was just a misread. I mean, they had him befuddled. They had him confused. I mean, I was shocked. I think one of the most amazing stats is the first quarter stats for the Patriots in the Super Bowls. Like, literally,
can't score.
Three points that they've scored in the last nine Super Bowls.
What is that?
In the first quarter?
Is that bad game plan? Is that Brady's a little too amped up? What is that?
Do you know what I think a little bit? I was just thinking about this before the show, you guys.
Should have been three more, but Gostowski also.
Oh, that's right. He missed
fair,
his.
It's a fair point.
He's missed four kicks in the last three Super Bowls.
Gostowski left a few out there.
Well, don't forget about the missed ones in the AFC Championship in Denver. I'd like to include those.
Are you counting the extra points, too, or just the missed field goals?
And again, let's qualify it. There isn't another kicker that I would want on this team right now. I can't name one off the top of my head available.
Okay.
That's available. No, he's inked for another year.
Yeah.
I think he is remarkable. And that last field goal that he kicked last night, obviously, for all intents, put the game away. Eh. And a super guy, swell guy. He's missing big kicks. Mm-hmm. Missed another one last night.
Bill always has his back,
though. We just
going to
ignore it because they won? No, I think it deserves mentioning.
Yeah,
what do you think the slow starts are about?
Is it gives any of these high-powered offenses that you face, when you have 2 weeks to prepare as a defense, I think it maybe benefits the defense. Whenever you go, there's just more time to strategize, more time to rep what they're going to be able to do. I think it's a huge advantage for defense to have 2 weeks to prepare for high-powered offense. And that's what you see. I mean, we had 2 weeks. Oh, we didn't have 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams' high flying offense in 01, but we had already played them once that year, so we kind of knew what
You're
to expect.
Familiar, yeah,
yeah. I just think that's something to kind of look at. Is the defenses more times than not, when you have a great defense going up against a great offense in the big game, it usually becomes more of the defense gets theirs more than the offense gets theirs, and I think a lot of that has time to prep. Time to kind of game plan, time to rep what it is that offense likes to do. And this offense, to some degree, is very predictable. What the Rams do, it's the same offense that the Atlanta Falcons ran under Kyle Shanahan. It's the same offense that Mike Shanahan ran with the Denver Broncos. Run, zone run, play action. Zone, run, play action, over and over again. You have 2 weeks to rep all the different things they like to do within that system. It'll benefit the defense.
617-779-0985. Chad in Medford, I think, has a different perspective than we do on the Patriots offense. Go ahead, Chad.
No, well, the Patriots offense, the only way they were going to win that Super Bowl this year was by the running game. I mean, Sony Michel had, 18 carries for 90, almost 100 yards?
94 yards,
I mean, guys weren't getting open. Edelman was the only receiver that had 10 catches, and I think Patterson had two. The three times he threw to Hogan, he was covered, and he didn't even make a pass attempt at Dorsett. Guys were not getting separation. In the future, they're going to have to get another receiver. And Hardy, yeah, he's right, but with the defense, but that was a totally different defense in the playoffs. Teddy, I know you were a little bit critical about Hightower. He showed up in the playoffs. So
yeah,
he had dynamite game pressure yesterday. Van Noy and even Shelton had a few stops. I mean, the defense played unbelievable against Kansas City in the first half.
Even
the second half. Mahomes is unbelievable. They played dynamite, the defense, in the playoffs. Totally
what was I thinking
different.
Of?
How dare you, Teddy?
How dare I criticize Dante Hightower, who's making, $9 million a year? And wasn't in the top 10.
You're just jealous.
I'm just jealous. Well, you know what? Okay. Here's the thing. But I can point to to some data that maybe bolsters my argument. You have a guy that's out there for 83.5% of the plays, and you're not in the top 10 in tackles for the entire season until the very end. And if you just watch them play, I know he had a nice interception against Kansas City earlier. I know he had a couple of big impactful sack that was impactful. But Dont'a Hightower's the playmaker. He's the playmaker. And he made plays last night. But
he did play well last night.
My criticism of Dont'a, I thought, was
But you
fair.
Were looking for more of what we saw last night all year long.
Yeah. I really was. And so I was very critical of this defense all season long. With my best friends that I'm living with temporarily until I get my own play. I mean, they've heard me. I'm just go after Dont'a Hightower. I just wasn't doing radio then. But did he and that rest of that defense figure it out? They did. But
100%.
Dont'a was phenomenal last night. But I didn't see that kind of play out of him for a major part of the season. So that's why I was critical of him. I just thought that's a guy that you should be able to get. I thought he was hurt. I thought he was hurt early in the season. I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt. I'm going to maybe look through it as maybe he's hurt. And he kind of kept playing in a way that was just uninspiring. And I didn't think he was really playing as hard as he could. That all changed in the playoffs. He's been outstanding, and particularly last night, he was very, very good.
617-779-0985. You can jump in on, the night the defense had. You can jump in on the night that the offense had as the Patriots pick up another Super Bowl here. And look, it left a little to be desired. It was not the most entertaining game at the end of the day. You can count another ring for the New England Patriots. Again, 617-779-0985. We'll get to you guys next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Adam in short motion from the left. Tom takes the snap, dropping back. Quick throw to the near side. It's nearly picked off, got it high in the air, and it is intercepted on the carom. Intercepted by Littleton. Swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Shuffles left. He's under pressure. Ball's knocked loose and diving on it. The Patriots seemingly recovered. Goff takes the shotgun snap. He drops back. There's late pressure. Throw might have been tipped as it sails incomplete to the near side. Well off the mark intended for Reynolds. John Perry, the referee.
Oh, we got a flag down back here?
Prior to the pass, holding, defense, number 24, 5-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
I mean, certainly wasn't perfect in that game last night. Patriots had their miscues. We were talking about Gostkowski earlier. The offense struggled. The offense struggled to find their footing until one drive with about 9 minutes to go while Brady was getting a Brady chant out there on the field, Ted.
Man, we could hear it through the TV. It was crazy.
In Atlanta, of all places.
Right?
The same city that watched the Patriots come back from 28-3 down. And I know it's not Falcons fans, but Brady's getting a Brady chant on that drive. He hits Gronk for 18. He hits Edelman for 13. Burkhead has a catch in there. Gronk has a tour. That, the offense struggled to find their footing. And, from there, it was mostly cosmetic, right? I mean, Gilmore got the pick on the pop fly from Goff. Goff made a couple of throws on that drive. And really, those drives were it. That was the game. Mm-hmm. Like that's what the game boiled down to as the Patriots pick up that 6th Lombardi Trophy. A lot of you want to jump in on it. 617-779-0985. Let's continue with your thoughts here. Blair is up in Maine. Go ahead, Blair.
Hey, I'm sorry about the TV. It won't go down. I wanted to say, how many punts were there in the freaking game?
The Rams had 8 in the first half, right? Or was it total?
First 8 possessions were 8 punts for the Rams.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. In a Super Bowl, too, it was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Hey, I want to ask, the guy next to you was in playing for the Pats, but...
The guy next to who? The guy next to me? Ted Johnson?
Yeah, Ted. Hey, Teddy.
What's
did
up?
Did you play against Jackie Slater? Because I knew who he was. And I just wanted to know if you played and if you knew him, did you get to play against him? Did you get to meet him? Did you ever get to go against him? That's all.
I want to be officially called the guy next to you from here on.
I'm the guy next to you. You're going to be talking to Hardy. You're probably talking to Hardy.
I think he was talking about me. Jackie Slater, it was before my time.
Oh.
Yeah, he was before my time. I feel like he was. And
Jackie Slater sneaky played a while.
He played
till 95.
Okay, really? So I got drafted in 95.
He played one game that year.
Okay, so
in St. Louis. He made it to St. Louis.
Yeah.
The Rams' last game in L.A. was 94. He played one game in St. Louis.
So
I don't think it was against you.
Who's the great tackle that basically for the Rams that replaced Jackie Slater? Left tackle, the big...
why am I blanking?
Orlando Pace. Thank you. So Orlando Pace that's who I played against, Orlando Pace. But Jackie, no, I never played against Jackie.
Okay. Well, win some, you lose some.
He sat down with us at the on Radio Row.
How was he?
Jackie's it's fantastic.
Yeah?
It's just, I mean, great to talk to. And I made a point that T-Bone was giving me a hard time about, like, during the interview. But I thought it was important to mention to him. I'm like, look, you know, we all have kids here. Mm-hmm. You never get tired of hearing good stuff about your kids. But everybody loves your kid. Like, everybody respects that guy. And, you know, he's a stand-up person. And he talked a lot about the fact that, you know, It was interesting listening to him talk about Matthew. He's like, look, I didn't think he was, you know, coming along the right way. And I took him to somebody to help with his speed. And I thought, he's not going to get drafted. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, didn't he say to you guys he wasn't like a big believer in special teams or something like that?
Any of it, right?
Which I was like, amen, Jackie.
As much as a father could say, it's like, I didn't think the kid had it to not only find himself a spot in this team, but to be a captain and to have, you know, like the respect of the coach. And I said, just so you know, everybody who meets the guy loves the guy. You know, he's just a quality person. And he did appreciate that, Tom. And how dare you criticize me and give me a hard time for saying that? Do you ever get tired of hearing good stuff about your kid?
Never, 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 never. Are you kidding me?
I do. It's a little much, all right?
Are you kidding me? I would eat.
I just want to compliment your baby. That's weird.
Hey, you know what? Well, here's the thing. Matthew Slater.
Oh, he's such a good crawler. Yeah.
he's played, gosh, I mean, he's played over 10 years here, right? I mean, he's been
Slater,
here
yeah.
forever and a day. You know, the last name doesn't hurt because Belichick, like, Matthew Slater has earned a roster spot on this team, and he's very deserving of a roster spot. He's kind of created a niche for himself, like Larry Izzo did when I was playing. Belichick loves the history of the game, and he's big into, he'll give anybody, I think, a chance that has football lineage in their past. And so if you have any bloodlines as a player that's coming in the NFL, that is connected to the NFL,
like
Belichick will love that. You know, he loves that stuff.
Like a thoroughbred, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Same thing.
Yeah,
same thing.
If you,
it's like, Stevie, I don't know if you can coach the secondary, but you got my blood in you.
Right.
So we're going to give it a shot.
Either NFL bloodlines or went to Rutgers. That's pretty much how Bill makes his drafting decisions. 617-779-0985. How about Derek in Foxborough, on someone we've not talked a lot about, Sean McVay? Go ahead, Derek.
I think McVay got exposed last night. I mean, there was no urgency to his play calling at all. And Zoe was talking about this. In the fourth quarter, it was still tied 3-3. The Rams had the ball. They were kind of driving. And they got a holding penalty, so they were in a third and long. And they won the ball on third and long in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that was – I didn't – did you have a problem with that? Third and 22? I didn't have a problem with them running on third and 22. But I
no problem with that.
But I'd agree. Yeah, what was Goff – you were praying Goff wouldn't throw a pick in that situation.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with that specific play call. But McVay overall, like, imagine if you're one of the owners, and there's like five or six of them, that hired Matt LaFleur or Zach Taylor, or you hire someone who knows Sean McVay to be your head coach just because they know or have heard of or one time bumped into Sean McVay. How are you feeling if you're that owner now? Like, boy, you really won the back pages with the McVay connection when you hired him. Now today, those hires aren't looking so hot, right? Like the shine came off him real quick.
Yeah, no, it did. And here's the thing about that offense. It's one of those deals where a lot of his success, you can go beat up on a lot of teams in the regular season with that offense, because you have a dynamic running back in Todd Gurley. You have a really good offensive line. And you have a lot of weapons on that offense. But it's all based kind of it's like a house of cards, the foundation for it. If you can't run the football, then the play action doesn't work. And you heard Tony Romo in the broadcast last night talk about.
Oh, I heard him a lot.
He was giddy, wasn't he?
A lot of talking.
Can we just real quick just diverge on that? Jim Nantz, have you ever? It's like a rebirthing for Jim Nantz having Tony in there. I mean, going from Phil Simms to Tony. I mean, it's like, hello, my friend. He's so excited to talk to Tony. So it's a rebirthing for Jim. I'm a big Jim Nantz fan. He's from Houston, so I'm happy for Jim Nantz that he's got his boy Tony in there.
Sure.
But having said that, Tony Romo said
Jim was looking for some more points last night. Jim was not thrilled with the lack of action in that game last night.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he did a cartwheel when Hecker hit that 65-yard punt.
It would have been fun to have maybe Al Michaels in for calling that game, just because you
were throw a little salt in it.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
dude, Al Michaels.
If you had the over, tough night. If you had the over, am I right?
I will watch Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth call a aesthetically horrible game.
Yeah,
just because that's sometimes some of their best stuff.
Oh, right? Michaels would call. He's like, these offenses are playing like hot garbage. Oh my God,
he's the best. Okay, so we digress. But Tony Romo was mentioning that Jared Goff. Whenever he has to go drop back in coverage and just scan the field, he's terrible at it. He's not good. He's below average. So much of that offense is Sean McVay telling him what to do. Hey, you know, audible this, check into this, and he really holds his hand. And so when you leave Goff to his own devices, he's not ready for prime time. And you can't just drop back and just start, you know, reading the field and start, you know, throwing the ball by reading the field. He has to have the running game to set up the pass, the play action for him to be successful. So it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, that offense.
So let's go to Lee in Quincy real quick. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey. The game, it was an acceptable outcome, but a terrible game. Unless you watch the condensed highlights, which were pretty amazing, especially I think my favorite was the touchdown to Cooks in the end zone. That
there's only three. McCourty. I mean, the highlight package from this game would take you 15
right.
seconds.
There was the punt. That's why it's enjoyable. Right.
Then there was the Michelle touchdown.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Yeah. But when Jason McCourty came out, he came out of nowhere like a rocket on the screen. And that
great
was
play.
My favorite one.
Tremendous play. And Goff, I mean, we talked about this. I mean, Goff, you want to talk about not being able to survey anything. Cooks was wide open.
He was. And by the way, Lee, I'll see you at the gym later. All right, cool.
That's right. You two are borderline workout partners. The plays from that game.
Oh,
it's Jason McCourty's, breakup in the back of the end zone.
Huge.
It's Gronkowski's reception.
Yep.
Down at the one.
Yep.
There's one more. I would say the other one is so when Patrick Chung got knocked out of the game because of friendly fire, Jonathan Jones just comes, nails his arm, and so he's out. Oh, Daron Harmon, number 21, comes in, and I'm sitting there going,
right.
Okay, yep. Here, okay, because, you know, I get a little nervous when Daron's back there playing safety. He had a nice pass breakup, though, when they were on the 35, 40.
It was the play right before the pick?
Right, the play right before the pick, Adam. It was a fade route, a nine route to Brandon Cooks. Stephon Gilmore was covering him. He got beat. But Daron Harmon came at the last second and broke the play up for an incomplete. The very next play, the casino blitz that you guys are so good at talking came,
we
and
broke
then
it
the
down.
And the interception came.
And Harmon was the one with the pressure on that, too.
Harmon
had the pressure on the Gilmore pick.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
and thank you, the pressure that caused I mean, Gilmore, the ball was thrown to him. And I'll give him credit for catching it, but it's the pressure that would be, I guess, the other one. Highlights from this game.
Yeah.
Well, the long punt I liked.
oh my gosh.
The Gostkowski miss.
That was the highlight of the game up to that point.
The Brady pick. Don't forget about the Brady pick.
Don't, what are you doing?
Those were highlights.
What are you doing?
Those are all things that happened.
You had the Van Noy sack. You had a couple sacks there. What did the defense have? Four sacks, I think, on the day?
Yeah.
I mean, so Goff wouldn't throw the ball. Goff just stood there with the ball while guys like Van Noy blew him up. So, yeah, I don't know. I was very underwhelmed by Sean McVay. To go back to a couple of phone calls ago, I don't know how you couldn't be. And if I'm one of those owners, I'm sweating that hire out. 617-779-0985. Hardy's got all the latest in-hub headlines. Let's get to this. This has been a percolating topic now for a while. Boomer Esiason was doubling down on it, in fact, after the game last night. Julian Edelman to the Hall of Fame. Are we really doing this? Julian Edelman to the Hall of Fame. Let's get to that after Hardy's headlines.
The guy next to you was in playing for the Pats.
Headlines.
Guy could do a lot worse than being labeled the guy next to Adam Jones.
I think he was talking to you. Because he probably recognized you. I don't think he recognized me or Ted.
Confused me with Ted as being the former linebacker. Yeah. Patriots Super Bowl champions for his sixth time. One thing we really haven't talked about, the crowd in Atlanta last night. Robert Kraft immediately recognized it in the postgame.
The support we've had since I...
Or when he called into Touch and Rich this morning, as the case may be here.
Our family bought the team from the fans. It is just so special. And being in Atlanta, seeing so many Pats fans on the streets, that stadium, it was like a mini Gillette. Just want to say thank you to them.
That's the Patriots owner making good on his promise to call in to Toucher and Rich if the Patriots did in fact win, which they did, 13-3 over the Rams last night. In Atlanta, Julian Edelman, the MVP, 10 catches for 141 yards in the game. The parade is tomorrow. Bruins flipping a switch of their own. They beat the Capitals yesterday, 1-0. They'll be home to play the Islanders tomorrow night. Celtics over the Thunder, 134-129. They visit Cleveland tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston area campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go CSB.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines coming up at noon.
I was having some Cocoa Puffs, sorry, here in Maine.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady Fields, waist high, stands in the pocket. Throws to the near side. Edelman's wide open. Makes the catch at the 50. Stutter step to the 45. Out of bounds. With Khalib there on a nudge. Dropping back, looking to throw. Dancing in the pocket. Throws it wide. Edelman wide open at the 40. Turns to the 35. A stutter step to the 30. Angling right out of bounds as he runs away from Roby Coleman. Fires down the middle. Edelman makes the catch on the run. Cuts it right. Okay. Tripped up. But he stays on his feet. Angling to the 40. Ooh. And he's hammered down. From behind, tackled by Joyner.
That's a little controversial. Will Julian Edelman be sitting in the Hall of Fame? Boomer Esiason got the ball rolling on this, what, in the AFC Championship game? Was it earlier than that? Given his postseason numbers, which Edelman bolstered last night, 10 catches, 140-whatever yards. Incredible postseason career for Edelman, and I would say, and it's Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy in for Zoe and Beadle today, taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. And we got another giveaway coming up here about 15 minutes from now, $100 gift card to Stop and Shop to feed your fandom, again, about 15 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that. But I would say that there's no player in franchise history that I would rather have in a gotta-have-it spot at the wide receiver position than Edelman. That's above even Troy Brown.
I was going to say.
Which maybe is blasphemous.
Yep.
That's above Deion Branch, another teammate of yours. That's above Wes Welker. That's above Moss. Like, I would, going back to even before my time, I don't know if people want to throw in, like, Stanley Morgan or whatever. Edelman would be the guy I would, in a gotta-have-it spot, Edelman would be my guy. He's done it so many times in so many big spots. I know Troy Brown did, too. I know Deion did, too. But that would be my pick. That alone is not enough to get you into the Hall of Fame. It's just not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the regular season and the postseason. It's the whole career. So at least to me, Ted Johnson, just, you know, little radio guy who knows nothing about anything. In my opinion, I never even thought of him as a Hall of Famer. Never crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think the full body of work is really even all that close. But I'm curious your thoughts on that. And I know a lot of people out there driving around disagree.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's his regular season numbers. They wouldn't even come close to getting him in the Hall of Fame right now. I'm the biggest Julian Edelman fan. Oh my gosh! I mean, this guy, his toughness and his resolve is pretty amazing. What he's able to do, but his regular season numbers. It just isn't going to match up. It's not even come close. I mean, he's got to play a lot of years, I think, to be in that discussion. But the postseason numbers, I don't know, guys. It's almost like I feel like a lot of times they weren't even taking stats on postseason numbers until recently. I mean, it used to be one of those things where you couldn't even find postseason stats. It was all regular season, and then when postseason comes, it's kind of like whatever you do, you do. But, I mean, the fact that the Patriots have been so successful and there's so many postseason games, he's benefited from that. So he's been able to do it. And I will say this, though. You can say, if you don't think he should be in based on his regular season numbers, he's done it. The numbers he has in the postseason rival that close, or they're only second to Jerry Rice aren't those the best competition in the most pressure-packed situation?
Totally.
Where everything's on the line?
Totally.
So it makes it even more impressive. So I think you have to kind of weigh that in with the regular season numbers to make the argument.
I agree. You have to weigh it in with the regular season numbers. And when you add in the regular season, when he's never made a Pro Bowl, never been all pro, you know, how many 1,000-yard seasons does he have in his career?
Two. He has two.
So, yeah, you're right.
2,000 yards.
2013, seasons. He had just over 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. 2016, he had 1,100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really great career.
I think 2 years he's been able to play 16 games, but other than that,
he's played twice.
Twice.
And those were both his 1,000-yard years. So maybe there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
Really great career. Really great player. Again, in a gotta-have-it spot, that would be my pick. Not a Hall of Famer to me. I don't know how you feel about it, Hardy.
Sorry, Tom didn't have me on there.
Or
I didn't have myself.
We'll debate that.
Tom and I are going to go come to so blows today.
Hardy, back asleep.
Hardy, not the Julian Edelman of button pushers over there, I'll tell you.
A Super Bowl MVP. Thank you, Tom. A Super Bowl MVP performance certainly helps swing the conversation in his direction. The problem with Edelman is that so many guys have excelled at that slot receiver position for the Patriots that you wonder how much of it is him, how much of it is the system, how much is Tom Brady. To me, Football Hall of Fame and just about every Hall of Fame, it becomes a numbers Hall of Fame. You know, there are statistical milestones that guys have to hit in order for the people deciding to vote them
for
in.
For that position in particular.
Right. To me... Again, this is like as a fan. This is somebody who doesn't, you know, pay hardcore attention to the numbers and stats. So you ask me, does Julian Edelman belong in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. He's been part
absolutely
of...
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely,
you're,
yes.
You're an absolutely yes.
Yes.
You're more on the fence over there, Ted. But you're
After
I'm not so convinced yet. I feel like...
But is that a yes or a no?
For me, I would say no at this point.
But still, he's got some work to do, in other words. But
Okay. I do have to bolster those regular season numbers.
And you're an absolute.
I think there's going to be a lot of guys like from this era who are going to be considered. The problem is when you have to decide, well, we can't put like every player from every Patriots team from 2001 up until who knows when into the Hall of Fame. You know, we're starting to see it now, finally, a little bit, but... This is going to be a tough decision for people to vote on. It's like, well, who actually gets in?
I don't think it's that tough with Edelman. I don't think it's that tough. I'm not a big numbers guy in the Hall of Fame. I'm not a big numbers guy. I'm a big accolades guy. And a Super Bowl MVP is huge, but Deion Branch is a Super Bowl MVP, and he's not getting in. So, I mean, he never made a Pro Bowl. And I know Pro Bowls aren't the end-all, be-all, and maybe he'll make them. Maybe he'll do it in time.
All-pro is the end-all, be-all.
He's never been all-pro.
Tom Brady is going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Who is his most trusted wide receiver if you had to pick one guy throughout his career?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sway the conversation in his direction?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I mean, that's...
Who caught more passes than any other receiver from the greatest quarterback in the game's history?
I think Welker's still at the top of that list. I could be wrong.
I don't think so. I think it's Edelman.
Is it Edelman?
This is something we should all know.
Yeah, but I'm honestly...
Whatever. But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
It should matter. You have to be... To me, you know what the biggest kind of thing I look for when it comes to a Hall of Fame? I look at the All-Pro. How many times have you been All-Pro? All-Pro is like you're the top 1, 2, 3 at your position that year. And if you're on it for like a 3 to 5 year window, then you got to start looking at that seriously about being considered in the Hall of Fame. He's not on one All-Pro. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but unfortunately that position that he plays, the slot receiver position, is for whatever reason, guys that play slot in this league don't get the shine. They don't get the kind of
interesting
acknowledgement that maybe the guys on the outside get. And I don't think that's fair, but you got to make those all pros, man. That's being considered the best of your position.
Interesting graphic that NBC Sports Boston just had up there for a second. It went away, but it was most 100-yard-plus receiving games in the playoffs. And the list is Jerry Rice has 8, Julian Edelman has 6. And then it's an impressive list. And I forget all the ones that were, there we go. I mean, does that look like a list of guys who are going into the Hall of Fame?
Most of them are or are already are or
Jerry Rice,
or will
Michael
be going
Irvin,
in.
Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown.
Stallworth is in already. Ward's probably going to get in. I think Reed's in. Fitz will be in one day. So it's a good list.
It's going to be a culmination of things.
He's the outlier on the list.
Boy, that is a good list.
That's a pretty damn good list.
Now, when you see him paired with those guys.
Yeah, show me a list of all the Pro Bowls and all pros those guys made, right?
Therein lies the rub, I think, Adam, is you got to look at that.
And no offense, Ted, I don't care about all pro. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. I truly don't.
Oh, all pro is way more important than the Pro Bowl.
Okay, it is.
Okay, well, he didn't even make a Pro Bowl.
To me personally, it's not. And I know it's a big thing, but, you know, everybody's got their things. We can't pay attention and think everything is important, right? Mm-hmm. Now, across all sports. And we do it all here in Boston. We pay attention to all the things. The NFL All-Pro is not one thing that I sit around and think about and can tell you off the top of my head who makes All-Pro, because it's not all that important to me. I use, more than anything, the eyeball test. Mm-hmm. And it does not serve me well in a lot of these arguments. You know, I'm the guy who's like, thinks Jack Morris should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it took him until, like, the Veterans Committee to finally put him in. But because I just look at the guy who got the ball on opening day for, like, you know, 15 straight seasons. He won a World Series. He did it for multiple teams. You know, the guy. But, well, the strikeout to walk ratio, stuff like that. Hall of Fame arguments kill me because they become about numbers. If it's going to be about all pro and it's going to be about.
It's about all of it. I mean, the postseason matters. It's just he doesn't have the other stuff with the postseason.
Well, then put together if it's gonna be that, put together your list of criteria and throw it in a computer and take the human element out of it, because that's what a lot of these discussions come down to. There's still a human element to it, and the human being in me looks at Julian Edelman and what he's done playing alongside Tom Brady and the Patriots for all season, the contributions he made, especially in postseasons, and says, oh. Yes, of course. He's a Hall of Fame player.
He's had iconic plays, sure. Iconic games. So I think that's the conflicting part. I use my eyeballs too, Hardy, and I look at this guy. I'm like, he's a phenomenal player, but I can tell you how they kind of declare who's worthy or not. They all about the numbers, and so it'd have to be one of those deals where Julian would have to get in based on criteria that they've never really used, that they just kind of, you know, maybe for the first time they're going to have to create this criteria that's a special criteria for a player that his regular season numbers do not match up to the guys that are in there at his position. You know how many wide receivers are waiting to get in the Hall of Fame and have much better numbers than him?
Hines Ward on that list, right. is one of them.
So you're going to have to maybe change how you judge players.
Look, Edelman is...
If Julian Edelman's going to get in.
Edelman is great, okay? Really, really good career. I think he is short of the Hall of Fame, and I don't think that's like a hot contrarian take.
Now he is.
Yeah, maybe he can change it. We're talking about it today, right now.
Right.
So I guess I'm not saying it can't happen, but right now, today, not in. And I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that's me being a contrarian. I just think he's just not at that point. There's no shame in that. He's had a really good career. He's a Super Bowl MVP. You can't take it away. Hall of Famer, no. 617-779-0985. And... we got another giveaway coming up. $100 to Stop and Shop to feed your fandom coming up next.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're coming up on noon, 98.5 the Sports Hub. No Zoe, no Beetle. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy.
I feel your pain, Hardy. God, I've been there, bro.
Woof. Oof, indeed.
I've been there before.
Oof, indeed. I thought Hardy had to do postgame and then turn around today, but no. No postgame for Hardy last night.
I got home early Sunday morning.
He's been bursting at the seams with all these takes today. And we are bursting at the seams with giveaways here, our second of the day. It is a special edition of Feed the Fans Friday on a Monday, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You get a $100 gift card to Stop and Shop to feed your championship frenzy. That's right, a championship frenzy at stopandshop.com. Again, caller 10 right now, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. $100 gift card to Stop and Shop to feed your championship frenzy. While we're talking Hall of Fame here, Ted, I know you wanted to say a few words on your former teammate, Ty Law, the first the first of this era to get into the Hall of Fame, the first of the dynasty to get into the Hall of Fame.
I'm pumped for Ty and I. We go way back. We go back to college. You guys probably maybe don't know this, but I played in a game in Michigan. I was playing for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Cordell Stewart
was my quarterback. We beat the Michigan Wolverines. We were ranked 7th in the country. The Michigan Wolverines were ranked 4th in the country. They had a quarterback by the name of Todd Collins. Remember him?
Yeah.
Tim Biakabatuka.
He's from around here? Is Todd Collins from around here?
I think he was.
Walpole?
I think he was. He played for the Buffalo Bills. Anyway, we had a Hail Mary pass to win the game with no time. You had, who was calling the play? Jackson. What's his name?
Keith Jackson.
Oh, Nelly. Was calling the play, and it was an incredible win. Hail Mary pass, Cordell Stewart, 60-yard bomb to Michael Westbrook. No time left over Ty Law's head. So I used to bust Ty's balls on it. He wanted none of it. Wanted none of it.
Really? Didn't take it as good-natured living?
He didn't appreciate it.
He wouldn't like my style.
Let's go back in time.
It's not good-natured.
No.
1995, the Patriots drafted. Bill Parcells was the coach, of course. Bill Parcells drafted a first rounder, Ty Law, who was in the Hall of Fame. A third rounder in Curtis Martin, who's in the Hall of Fame. Mm. The only guy who was not holding up his end of the bargain was the second rounder that year.
Who was the second rounder that year?
You're looking at him, bud.
Oh, yeah,
you're looking at him. So, I mean, it's a little embarrassing that I couldn't live up to the
Hardy and I didn't want
to. So
what
took my first
it.
Rounder and my third rounder did? I feel like a huge disappointment.
Why do you think you weren't good at playing football, Ted? What was the problem out there?
Too small?
You know what? You think after 10 years you would have figured it out. And I guess I could never figure it out. But
a little more time in the weight room, I think, would have
helped. My neck needed to be bigger, maybe. Yeah. But all kidding aside, I'm pumped for Ty. Ty was it's one of my favorite stories of Ty. Like, Ty's one of those guys that he could give up a big play. And the next series, we'd be out there, and I don't know, Ozzy's on the plane over the speakers, and he's sitting out there, he's dancing, he's going, yeah, Ty, get in the damn huddle, let's go. He's like, Ted, just tell me, is it man-to-man or cover two? That's all I want to know. Like, not a worry in the world, jamming to Ozzy, you know, and not in the huddle like he's supposed to be, and just asking me, Ted, is it cover two or man-to-man? That's all I want to know. After you give up a big play, and then he'll have an interception, he'll make up for it. The guy had a memory that was like a gnat. He was an unbelievable competitor. And you know what he did? He really trained hard. He did a lot of work before practice. Ty Law, a lot of how Ty kind of approached practice was he did a ton of running in the mornings before, like, we would go out there. It was weird. Like, him and Otis Smith, they're out there running stadium stairs. And then when practice came, It was more like a three-quarter tempo or like a half tempo for Ty, because he'd gotten all his conditioning in. It was more mental for him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
and that didn't work for me, but that worked for Ty. And Ty was, I mean, he was one of the best man-to-man guys, but he also was a great zone guy. A lot of guys can do one or the other. He was a phenomenal at doing both. And he was a very good – if you're going to play in this defense under Bill Parcells and then Bill Belichick early on in his career here, you got to be good at what? As a cornerback, you better be a good open field tackler, because we played a lot of cover two where it asked the corners to come up in run support and force. And Ty was great at open field tackling, as well as man-to-man, as well as zone coverage. And a lot of guys are just kind of known for one thing, you know, are they great man-to-man guys. This guy, Ty Law, had it all, man. So I'm very pumped for my teammate to get in the Hall of Fame. It's well-deserved.
So I say first of the dynasty. I guess Curtis Martin wasn't quite – there with you guys, obviously, when you were winning Super Bowls, but he was kind of there, same class as you, as you said, Ty Law. So Martin's already in. Ty Law, the first of the championship level teams to get in. There will be more. You know, Richard Seymour, a finalist. Who knows? We know Brady and Belichick are going to be there. Who knows how many more from that era? 617-779-0985. A surefire Hall of Famer on this team. Played maybe his last game last night. That's Rob Gronkowski. Let's get to his future right after Hub Headlines here from Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.